The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov El Esav Ochiv. Yaakov sent Malochim, the angels or messengers before him to Esav. Arzo Seir Steadom, to the land of Seir, the land of Sodom, of the land of Edom, Seir Steadom, the field of Edom. Yaakov is returning from 22 years in the house of Lavan. And he was an additional 14 years away from home when he went firstly to the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eved to study. And he went to the house of Lavan because of the wrath of Esav. Esav wanted to kill him because he stole the brachas. Also, his parents instructed him that there he should find a shidduch, a wife, which he did. And there he married Rachel and Leah and the two maidservants, and he gave birth. There they gave birth to all of the Shvatim, all of the tribes, with the exception of Binyamin, who was to be born later. Now he was coming back. And he was very concerned because Esav was coming to meet him. The Torah tells us, stay at Edom, where he met Esav was in Esav's territory, the field of Edom. Rashi brings, the Medrash brings, Arzo Seir Steadom on this posuk. Edom means red. Hu Odoim v'Safshile Odoim v'Arzo Aduma. Esav was red. His food was red. His land was red. Giboriv Adumim. His soldiers were red. Levushe Adumim. Their uniforms were red. And the Medrash elaborates, because it states, Vayetzarish and Admeni, the first one that was born of the two sons, Esav and Yaakov, he came out all red. Tafshile Odem, Aliteni Nomina Odem Adem Azeh, the episode of the red porridge, the Nezid Adoshim, which he traded off with Yaakov, and I will give you my firstborn birthright and you give me the porridge, states that was red. Arzo Aduma, his land was red, as it states, Arzo Seir Steadom, as it states here. Gibeirav Adumim, his soldiers were red, as it states, Anshe Chayal Misulayim. Medrash brings a posuk to, in regards to his soldiers, and so on. We can ask a question here besides, what is the meaning of all of this? That we find that he was so identified with the color red. Why right here does the Torah tell us this? We already finished speaking about the personalities of Yaakov and the personalities of Esav. This is one question. Torah carries on. Vayetzav Esav lemor. He commanded the messengers to say to Esav, Kei Seimron Ladoni LeEsav. This is what you shall say to my master Esav, Kei Omar Abdecho Yaakov. Thus saith your servant Yaakov. Now, he's giving quite a bit of honor to Esav. He says, this is what you should say. Kosomrun Ladoni Esav. This is what you should say to my master Esav, to my lord Esav. Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov has to say. Medrash brings on this. In Oshei, Rabbeinu Omar L'Ravapos Kosuchad Igro Min Shmi L'Moron Malko Antininus. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, this was generations later. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi was a descendant of Yaakov. He was the leader of the Jews. He lived during the time of the Roman Empire. And he was very good friends with Antoninus, who was the Caesar, the king of the Romans. He told Rav Apus, his secretary, I would like you to write a letter in my name to the Maran Malko, to the king, the great king Antoninus. Kom v'kosav min Yehuda Nesio l'Maran Malko Antoninus. So he went and he wrote the letter, and he started the letter by saying, Yehuda the Nossi, Yehuda the Prince of Israel, writes to Antoninus, the great king. He brought it back to Rebbe, Nasbe Ukore Bikorel. He read it and he tore it up. He says, that's not the way you write to the Roman Caesar. He says, write as follows. Ksev min abdoch Yehudu lemoran malko Antoninus. Yehuda, your servant, addresses the mighty king Antoninus. Omale Rebbe b'mnema'atom evaza al kvet decho. So Rebbe Apo says, Rebbe, why are you humiliating yourself so much before the Caesar? Amalei mano tov min sovi. Am I better than our grandfather? Lekach Omar. Didn't our grandfather say to Esav, Kei Omar Abdecho Yaakov, this is what your servant Yaakov has to say, La Adoni Esav, to my lord Esav. From here, we see that Yaakov actually made himself subservient to Esav, humiliated himself to Esav, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, many, many generations later, learned that this is how we have to act. What is the meaning of this? Let's go further. He said, write to Esav, Im lovan gartiv bo echar ad oto. That I've been with, living with Lovan, and I stayed there till now. What is meant, Im Lovan Garti? I'm busy, I have been living with Lovan all of this time. Rashi brings the Medrash, Im Lovan Garti V'Taryag Mitzvah Shomarti. That I lived with Lovan, who was a Rosha, very, very evil man and a deceitful man, but nevertheless I have scrupulously guarded the 613 Mitzvahs. He says, write this to Esav. It's also to me. What's this Esav's business? Esav's interested in the 613 mitzvahs. Who's in trying to impress? I can understand that if he wanted to come into a city of Talmidei Chachamim, he wanted to get into a yeshiva, so then he can impress the people by saying that I've been with Lavan and I guarded the 613 mitzvahs. But here he's coming to Esav. Esav doesn't care about mitzvahs. So what's Yaakov writing this to Esav for? Then further he said, "Echar ad oto," and I was there, and I stayed there till now. We know you stayed there till now. We see that you left. What are you writing this to him for? "Echar ad oto," I have been there till now. I stayed there till now. Another kasha. Then he said, "Write further." Tell him further. Tell Esau further. Vayhi li shor v'chamor tzein ve'eved v'shivcho. I have shor, I have an ox, I have a donkey, I have sheep, I have a servant, I have a maidservant. Ve'esh l'cho lahagi la'adoni limtso chen be'inecho. And I'm going to send you some of them in order that I shall find grace in your eyes. I'm going to send you a gift. And then he prepared the gift. Now, what is he telling Esav this for? If he wants to impress Esav with his wealth, why is Esav interested in that? Because you made money by Lavan, so therefore I'll feel good about it. I'll be appeased. You're afraid that my hatred is still strong. So now you're telling me that you were by Lavan and you made a lot of money, so therefore I won't hate you anymore. Right. So what's he trying to impress with Esav with? Secondly, if he's coming to trying to impress Esav with all of the wealth he has, he said everything in singular. He didn't say Ma'ili Shvorim Machamorim Avodim Shvoches. He didn't say that I have or Shvorim Rabim. He didn't say that I have oxen, many donkeys, many servants, many maid servants. He said, I have shor, I have an ox, a chamor, a donkey, a sheep, a servant, a maid servant. So lefi pshute, in accordance to the simple sense, Rashi asked the kasha. And he says, this is how people speak. Many times you call many oxen, I have ox. See. Or I have a servant. So you refer to them in the singular even though they're in the plural. But this is not answering the question, because if he's coming to impress Esav, firstly, our first question is why is that going to impress Esav? Because you made money by Lavan. But secondly, if you are trying to impress Esav with your wealth, so you build up what you have, you don't diminish what you have. Many oxen and many sheep. Secondly, he became very rich by Esav. States that he became by Lavan. He became exceedingly wealthy. So he had gold, he had silver, he had Margolius Tavis, he had precious stones. Why didn't he mention these? Another question. Let's go further. Vayoshuva Malochim al Yaakov Lemor. The messengers came back to Yaakov saying, Bonu Elochicha al Esav v'gam heilich likroscho v'arba meis ish imai. We went to your brother Esav, we gave him over the message, and he's coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with you. Now the Medrash tells us. Then it states, "Vayira Yaakov mi'od." Yaakov became very afraid. The Medrash tells us it wasn't 400 men. 400 men is really not a formidable army. The Medrash tells us that he had 400 generals. Arba meyas roshei gayosis. 400 generals, each one with their army. From Esav came the Romans. The Romans were famous for their legions. 400 generals, each one with his own legion. So now we can understand why it states, Vayira Yaakov miyod vayetzelai. He sees that they're bringing in the army and the navy and the marines. He became very much afraid. But the Medrash says differently. The Medrash, one of the Midrashim in Os Beis, says, what was he afraid of? States he wasn't afraid of the soldiers. He was afraid find the Medrash. Omar, kol hashonim halolu yeshiv be'eretz Yisrael. All of these years Esau was living in Eretz Yisrael and I was in the house of Lovan. So Esau has had the mitzvah of yeshiva sa'aretz, the mitzvah of dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. Teima shubo alai mikeach yeshiva sa'aretz Yisrael. Perhaps he's coming against me with the schus, with the merit of his mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael all of these years that I have, do not have. Then he said, "Kol hashonim alolu hu yeshiv u'machaber yaseh horav." All of these 22 years, Esav was home serving my mother and father, while I was not. Shema Eisei Zokin. Maybe with this chush, he is coming against me. Now, if Esav is coming, and Esav is a known Rosho, he's the man of the sword, and he's coming with 400 generals, each one with their own legion, 400 legions. So why did the Chazal have to say Vayiro Yaakov Mi'ed Vayetzelei that Yaakov was afraid? Because Esav had a mitzvah. He had a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. He had a mitzvah of serving Avi V'Ima, his father and mother. We should say he was afraid of the 400 armies. Another kasha. What is the explanation for all of these questions that we're asking? If you recall, a few weeks ago, we explained in the Shir that Yaakov and Esav came to a deal. They were both enormous individuals. These are not two children, these are two nations. And not nations, but great nations. And their empires. From your womb, the prophecy came to Rivka, will come forth the two mightiest empires of the world, Yaakov and Esav, Israel and Edom. And each one, in their enormous ambitions, wanted both worlds. And this was the Vayisreitzesu Hoyomeriven Menachle Shnei Olamos. They were fighting in the womb who should inherit both worlds. And they decided to make peace with each other. And there was the trade-off. That was the Nezid Adoshim. Esav had come, and by that time he was getting tired of
of talk of another, of a higher sphere. He was becoming more interested in this world. And especially was the day that Avraham died, his grandfather, and he could not make peace with that, the Midrash says. He says, that man was so good, he should have never died. And meanwhile, he was starving, and he wanted some of the Nazir HaDoshim, the porridge, which was red. He said, give me from that red food. And Yaakov said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give this to you. And with it, I'll give you whatever I have in this world. You can have it. But in return, I want your firstborn birthright. And he said, what is that? He says, that's the schus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the schus to give you mitzvahs. From there, he says, what will I have from it? You'll have Olam Haba. You'll have the higher worlds. And Anet Esav said, I don't need that. I see what happened to Abraham, our grandfather. Mikan kofa b'tchias ha'meisim. Here they say, he denied that there'll be another world. He says, I don't need this. Give me this world. And I'll give you whatever I have in the next world. This was the deal they made. And that's why this Nazir HaDoshim, this little story, is so important. Yaakov said, this world will be your world. The next world will be my world. Your world will be the physical world. You will be the master, the physical giant. I will be the master of the spirit. And both were happy with the deal. It's a good deal. And it states that's why he's called Edom. This gives us a little insight into it. Because just because he ate red porridge, he should be called Edom. This represented that the physical world. Now, it was not because of this that Esav hated Yaakov. Because you stole my firstborn birthright. The Torah doesn't say that he went away from that all upset. And that he had charata, remorse, that he sold it. There's no place the Torah says that. The Torah doesn't say he hated Yaakov for that. And he wanted to kill him. He was very happy with the deal. He wanted the physical world. And he didn't want the spiritual world. So there was no problem. And these two brothers had the greatest respect for each other. Esav had great respect for Yaakov. And there was peace amongst them. No place does it state, after the time they were born, that there was fighting or hatred between the two. Yaakov lost his respect for Esau when he saw that he went away from the Derech Hashem. But he had recognized the powers of Esau. So this would have been fine. The problems came when Yitzchak chose to give the brachos to Esav. Yaakov went and stole the brachos. Then Esav became angered to the point where forever he will hate him. Why? He says, because not only has he stolen my next world, now he has taken this world from me also. Because in the brachos, so his father gave him, what did he give him? What was Esav so concerned with the brachos? Esav didn't want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because his father gave him, Vayitan lochole ki mitala shomayim umishmane yohoretz berei dogan v'sireish. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the dew of the heaven and the fat of the land, and he shall give you dogon v'sirash. He shall give you the grains and the oil. Yaduha amim vishtachvu l'umim. Nations shall serve you. Empires shall serve you. Havigvir la'achecho, you will be a master over your brethren. Now, Esav, what's going on? We made a deal. This world is going to be mine and the next is yours. Now you went and you stole this world from me too. He says, now I know why they called him Yaakov. He's a crook. Yaakov means Bobby Mirma. He comes behind someone. He says the whole thing was a plot. First he got me to sell off my spiritual world, and then he goes and steals my physical world. So that's what the Torah tells us. It says he came and he was all excited. He was going to get these brochas. And his father said, Bochicho b'mirma. Your brother came in treachery, vayikach birchosecho, and he took your brocha. Vayema achi koreshma Yaakov. Now I understand why he was called Yaakov. Vayakveni zeh pamayim, and now he has crooked me. Twice he has swindled me. Es becheirosi lokoch, vineyata lokach birchosi. First he talked me out of my firstborn birthright. In other words, he took my spiritual world. Right, that I could live with, that was fine. But now, in return, he was supposed to give me the physical world, and now he's stolen the physical world from me. So he said to his father, he says, can't you give me some brocha? He says, how can I give you any brocha? Hein gvir samti vloch. I've already made him a master over everybody in the physical world. He'll be your master too. Es kol echov nasati le'lavodim. I've given all of his brothers are going to be subservient to him. V'dogon v'sirei shamachtiv. I have given him all the grains, and I have given him the oil. Ulochai efom ayasavini. What can I give you now? So Esav kept pushing. He says, "Give me something." So he gave him the sharaim. He gave him a few leftovers. All right. Then he said, "Al chabechatichya." This is a bracha. You'll live by the sword. Vesochichot havei. You'll serve your brother. But then he said, "Bo'ayoka sher tori duferakto ulei me'al tzavarecho." But you will serve your brother. But when your brother will fall, you will rule over him. What does it mean when your brother will fall? You will rule over him. Chazal say when your brother will shake off the ol of Torah and mitzvahs, then you will rule over him. Vayishtom Esav es Yaakov ala brocha sheberacha oviv. Here is the first time the Torah tells us that Esav hated his brother. Esav hated his brother on the brocha which his father gave him. Vayeme Esav beliboy, and Esav said in his heart, Yikruvu yeme evil ovi vahargos Yaakov ochi. He says, after my father dies, if you recall, we spoke about how close Esav was to his father and how much he honored him. So in all of his hatred, he still couldn't find to give his father tsar, to give his father anguish. So he says, after my father dies, I will kill him. Now, in this point, in this nekuda, lies the sina, the hatred of Esav to Yaakov. Not in the birthright, not in the spiritual world, but that he took my brochos of this world. Another principle. Esav was not afraid, was never afraid of Yaakov's physical strength. Yaakov was a gibor. State Yaakov was very strong. When he went to the well and they couldn't take water because there was a big stone there, State Yaakov went. They used to wait for all the shepherds to come. Yaakov went and rolled it off. And this is to teach us how strong he was. We're afraid of Yaakov's strength. Why? Because physical strength has to do with this world. And this is Esau's world. And his father gave him a brocha. Al-chabach otichya. When it comes to the sword, you will be the master of the sword. So that Yaakov was never afraid of. Yaakov, though, excuse me, that Esau was never afraid of. Esau was afraid of something else. He was afraid of the spiritual strength of Yaakov. Because his father said something else. His father had said, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yedayim yedei Esau. This is the voice of Yaakov. When Yaakov came disguised to him, he says, this is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands of Esau. And the sages darshan that he was prophesizing that there will be a conflict between the sword of Esau, the hands of Esau, the physical might of Esau, and the spiritual might of Yaakov. Kishakol kol Yaakov, when the voice of Esau, excuse me, the voice of Yaakov, this is the Kol Torah and the Kol Mitzvahs, the voice of Torah and Mitzvahs, is apparent in the world, then Ein Hayadayim Shel Esau Gever, then the hands of Esau will not have any dominance over Yaakov. When the voice of Yaakov is not apparent, then the hands of Esau will be dominant. This is something else that their father told them. Then he also knew, and this they both knew, that the prophecy that Rivka received when she was pregnant with these two states, Lo yishvu bigdulosom, they will never reign together. Ulaom milom yemots, one empire will draw its strength from the other. Kishezeh kom zeh neifel, when one is on top, the other one will fall. When the other one is on top, this one will fall. They will not reign together. V'rav yavet so'ir. The end of the days, then the older one will have to serve the younger one. That will be in the days of the Mashiach. Incidentally, last night I had the opportunity to speak at the Hirschlein's School Prize Giving. So there I quoted a medrash from the beginning of Echo, where the medrash states that one of the greatest forces to stand up to destroy Israel was Bilam. And the nations came to Bilam and they asked him, can we conquer this nation? And he answered them, he said, Lechu Echazru Lebote Kinesiais Ulebote Midroshais. Go throughout Israel and go to the shuls and to the yeshivas. If you will see children being mitzapzefim, singing the songs, singing the psukim of the Chumash, then Ein Yechelna, you will not be able to conquer them. If you will not see them singing the psukim of the Chumash, then you will be able to conquer them. And when they asked Bilam why, And Bilam says, because this is what their father told Yaakov and Esav. Kishakol kol Yaakov, when the voice of Yaakov is strong, Ein yudaim shel Esav shelit, then the hands of Esav cannot rule over them. Im ein hakol kol Yaakov, if the voice of Yaakov is not strong, then the hands of Esav will rule. So all of this Yaakov knew. And now Yaakov had to find a strategy, because here he was coming to confront Esav. Therefore, his strategy was to cool the anger of Esav and to evoke his respect. Firstly, he wanted to show Esav his spiritual power, because Esav had respect for that. Even though Esav didn't want that world, he had respect for that. And he had respect for Yaakov's power on that. And he knew that when Yaakov is strong in the spirit, Shahakol kol Yaakov, then Ein yudaim shel Esav shelit, and his hands cannot rule. This was his first what he wanted to show him. Secondly, what he wanted to show him, he wanted to minimize his physical power, his position in the physical world, to show Esav that I didn't take your world from you, I didn't steal it from you, we're holding to the deal. What I gave you in this world belongs to you, and the spiritual world belongs to me, and therefore there's no justification that you should go around and carry this grudge. The deal stands. This was Yaakov's strategy. Therefore, first, when he came, he sent his malochim, he sent his messengers, and he said, this is what you shall tell Esav. Ko somrun la'adoni le'esav, ko omar abdecho Yaakov. Tell him that your servant Yaakov says to my lord Esav. Because we are now in the physical world. And Yaakov knew that in the physical world, and this was yet the territory of Esav in his land, he's the ruler. And he knew we both can't rule. Lo yishvu v'gdulosam, they will not both rule at the same time. In the end of days, Yaakov will rule. Rav Yaveh Tzoir. But not now. And therefore, this is Esav's world. You have to respect him. From here, Rebbe learned that at the time of the Caesars, this is how you speak to the Caesars. And he said, write a letter to him. And he wrote that this is what Yehuda, the prince of Israel, is writing to Antinonis, the king of Rome. He said, no, that's not how you address Esav in his world. You write to him, Yehuda, your servant, is writing to the king of Rome. That was the first thing he did. Then he went and he told him, he said, Im Lovan Garti, I've been with Lovan, Vitaryag Mitzvah Shomalti, and I have guarded the 613 mitzvahs scrupulously. We asked, who's he trying to impress with mitzvahs? Esav. He says, yes. Don't start up with me. Because your soldiers can conquer the sword. but they cannot conquer the Kol Yaakov. And I was with Lavan, who was a great Rosha, and I was with him for so long, but I kept all of the 613 mitzvahs. And therefore, be careful. Actually, there's a medrash in last week's Pasha, in Pasha's Vayetze. The medrash brings in Perek Ein, Os Daled, Medrash brings when Yaakov slept in Beis El, the place of the Mikdosh, and then he woke up, he told Hashem, "Ushmarani b'derech hazer asher anechi hilech." He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Im yelekim imodi." If Hashem is with me and He will guard me in this way, in this journey that I'm going. This is in Pasuk Chof at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Last Shabbos was the Yortzeit of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Ramotel Katz, my Rebbe Ramotel Katz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And in his Shiurim I see that he brings this Medrash. Medrash says as follows: why did Yaakov ask Hashem that you shall guard me ala derech, on the way that I am going? He said, you should guard me me'aveiris kechovi, me'gil arayis, u'shpichas domim, u'loshen hora. You should guard me from idolatry, from promiscuity, immorality, adultery, from shpichas domim, from bloodshed, from murder, and from loshen hora. And the Medrash says, and the Medrash proves from the word derech, this is what he meant. He asked the question. Yaakov is asking that Hashem should protect him from all of this. Yaakov was worried. The answer is, when one goes on a journey and he uproots himself from his home, and especially if he's going to stay in a house of Lavan, anything can happen to the greatest people. And this is what Yaakov was worried about. He says, for the fact that I'm uprooting myself from my home, my father Yitzchok and my mother Rivka, and I'm going far away, and I'm going to a house of Lavan, there I can become an idolater, I can become a murderer, I can become an adulterer, I can become a Baal Loshon Hora. And therefore he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmarani, you shall guard me on this derech. So now that Yaakov can come after 22 years in that house and say, Im Lavan Garti V'ta Yad Mitzri Shamati, that for 22 years I was with him, but I kept every mitzvah perfectly, this says something. This sends a message to Esau. Beware. Then Yaakov said, V'echar ad oto, and I have been there till now, I have stayed there till now. We ask, what's he telling? He stayed there till now. We know. The Medrash says, "Va'echar ad oto." Why did Yaakov return at this point? It states in the last week's parsha that after they gave birth to after Rachel gave birth to Yosef, when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Yaakov said to Lavan, Shalcheni ve'elcha el mekemi la'artzi. Send me back to my place and to my land. This is in Parshas Vayetze, last week's Parsha, Posuk Chof Hei, Perek Lamed. The Medrash states, Rashi brings, that till now he was afraid to go back. But once was neled sitnei shel Esav, once was born Yosef, then no longer was he afraid. Because with the spiritual power of Yosef, he would be able to conquer Esav. This is what he said, Vo'echar ad oto, I waited till now, now I have Yosef, now I'm not afraid of you. Again, what was he showing? He was showing his spiritual strength. Next he said, Vahili shova chamor, sein ve'eved v'shivcho, with his wealth. And why will that cool the wrath of Esav? Rashi brings lefi pshutai. In accordance to the simple sense of the meaning, Rashi explains from the Medrash, no, he was telling him something else. He was diminishing his wealth. This is why he said it in a singular. Firstly, he said, what do I have? I have an ox. I have a donkey. I have a few sheep. I have a servant. I have a maidservant. He didn't talk about gold. He didn't talk about silver or about precious stones. He was diminishing his wealth. But secondly, he said, is our father gave me the brocho that I should have mital hashomayim umishmane oretz v'reib dogon v'sirash. I will have from the dew of the heaven and from the fat of the land, v'reib dogon v'sirash, and I will have an abundance of grain and oil. He says, these things are not from the fat of the land, and they're not from the dew of the heaven, and it's not the grain and the oil. The animals and the eved and the shivcho, the servants, they don't come from the heavens, and they don't come from the land, and it's not the grain and it's not the oil. So what do you see? You see that the brochos that Abba, that our father gave me, Laheo Klum, it didn't help at all. They're your brochos, they're not mine. So why are you so angry? He was playing here with a balance of power. My world is the spiritual world. Your world is the physical world. There's no justification for you to be upset. This was the deal we made. And if you see that I have something, first of all, it's not that much. And secondly, it's not from the brachas that Abba gave us. So you see, the brachas didn't help. This is one medrash Rashi brings. Now there's another medrash. He meant also something else with Vayihi Shor V'Chamor. The medrash states in Ein Hei Oshud Beis, Shor Ze Yosef. What does it mean that I have a shor? I have Yosef. Yosef was called the shor. He was called the bull. The chor shor hodulei. Chamor. I have a chamor. The donkey is Yisochar. Yisochar is chamor gorim. Yisochar is called in the Torah a donkey. Yisochar represented the wisdom of Torah. He was the one who labored day and night by Torah, and this is why he was called a donkey, because a donkey carries. He carries heavy loads, and he carries by day and by night. And Shor, Yosef, was the great righteous Joseph, Yosef HaTzadik. So again, he's telling him. He says, the physical world I don't have. I have the spiritual world. And therefore, he's warning him. Don't start up with me. Now he came back, the servants came back, and the servants said, we went and we gave you a message, Teshuv. Behine and gam holek likroscho the arba meas ishimai. He's coming to meet you and 400 men. Vayira Yaakov mei v'yetzeloi, and Yaakov trembled with fear. But the Medrash says he wasn't afraid of the 400 men, the 400 generals with their legions. He was afraid of the schus of Esav, because Esav had the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael all of these years while he didn't. Esav had the mitzvah of kibur ave'im while he didn't. Why do we have to say that? Why can't we say he was afraid of the 400 men? Because kisha kol kol Yaakov ein yodayim shel Esav shelit bay. When the voice of Yaakov is strong in Torah mitzvahs, then the hands of Esav cannot rule. And this Yaakov knew, and therefore his 400 legions meant nothing to him. He says, that's not the problem. I have nothing to be afraid of. What I do have to be afraid of is that Esav might be coming against me not with the sword, but with mitzvahs. That I have to be afraid of. He has a schus. He has 22 years of Eretz Yisrael that I don't have. He has 22 years of Kibbutz Ave'im that I do not have. That's a different story. So the Medrash says, therefore, he was afraid. Now, what comes out good is why, in this whole episode here, we're dealing here with a confrontation of two powers, and they're working on balancing the power. The Torah tells us here that this took place Arzo Seir, Stay Edom, in the land of Seir, the field of Edom. Here it writes, he was Edom. He was read, states when he was born, Vayetze Harishan Admoni. It says the Nazir, his machola, his food was red, because the porridge that he bought was red. His land is red. His giborim, his people are red. What does this all represent? We ask, besides, what does it all represent? Why does the Torah tell us right here? If it wants to talk about Esav, it could have spoken before when they described the personalities of Esav and Yaakov. The Maral writes in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, what does it mean that was read? The sages tell us that Esav is like the sun. Yaakov is compared to the moon. Because it states, the mor hagodol v'hamor hakotol, the great light and the smaller light. And Esav was called the ochi hagodol, the older brother. And Yaakov was called ochi v'hakotol, the younger brother. And the Gemara tells us, what are the colors of the sun and the moon? It states that the sun, the matter which the sun is made up of, is red. It's made from like a red clay. The moon is white. So that's why it's called lovan, from the word white. In this world, the sun is the greatest physical force. Maral writes that in general, all great rulers try to identify with the sun. Why? Because the sun was, even the Torah refers to, the sun is the mor hagodol, the Meshul, physical ruler of the world, is the sun. It calls the universe, it maintains the order of the universe with its magnetic force, and it nourishes the universe. And therefore all great rulers identified with the sun, but Esav in particular, because the kings of Edom were the mightiest rulers. It's just like we find in history, the greatest empire was Rome. The Roman kings were the mightiest. The Lavona, the light, the moon is second fiddle in this world. The Morakot, a smaller light. But it's brought that in the next world, the moon will rule. This is the symbol where the moon becomes almost diminished, and then it's mischadish. It renews itself. Moon constantly comes to a point where it's almost diminished and it's almost lost, and then it renews itself. The brochas of the Lavona, we always speak about the moon renewing itself, and we speak about Dovid HaMelech, because Dovid HaMelech, from him would come the Mashiach, see, the renewal of the world. He says, therefore, this is what is meant, that Esav, everything that has to do with him is red. His land is red. He was red. His porridge was red. Because red represents the forces of this world. And this world was Esav's. This was the deal they made. Now we can understand why the Torah tells us this right here, because this was the confrontation. Esav's entire hatred for Yaakov was merely because you have taken my world from me. He didn't envy Yaakov's spiritual world. That didn't bother him. The fact is, he gave that to Yaakov. But because you have taken my physical world from me. And Yaakov understood this. And therefore his whole strategy was built along these lines. I have not taken your physical world from you. It's yours. And all the brochas that our father gave me did not help at all in regards to the physical world. And whatever I have is next to nothing. And I give it to you. And you are the master of this world. Fine. Good. But I have the spiritual world. I have Yosef. I have Yisachar. I was with Lavan for 22 years and I kept all of the mitzvahs. Therefore our deal is good. There's no need for you to make war. And I warn you not to make war. And from here we learn, the sages tell us how we have to deal with Esav in this world. And that was with the Yehuda Anoshi. You notice that he didn't try to impress Esav anywhere here with his armies, with his physical strength. Yaakov also was very strong. Why didn't he tell Esav, you want war? I also have many soldiers. I also have swords. The answer to that is because Al-Chabachotichia, the broch of the sword was given to Esav, not to Yaakov. And that's not going to impress Esav. It's not going to impress the legions of the Romans. But what will impress them is that I have the great merit of Yosef, and I have the great merit of Torah, of Yisachar, and the Taryag Mitzvah Shomati. I mentioned this many times, that by Rebbe Rav Gifter, it tells the Rosh Yeshiva, once spoke, he spoke before a large conference, Lagudish Yisrael, in New York. And when I asked someone who was there, what did he say? He said, fellow Jews, you're making money, you have wealth, enjoy it. That time, it wasn't too long ago, but New York Jews were living very high. He says, enjoy it. It's a bracha from Hashem. But do me a favor, he says. Enjoy it inside your homes, not outside your homes. Outside your homes, don't drive around in the real big cars. Don't sport the real fancy jewelry and so forth. Enjoy it inside. Why? At that time, anti-Semitism started to grow. Because when Esau sees that, he says, you stole my brochas. That's mine. When Esau sees the Jew studying Torah, he doesn't say, you stole that from me. When he sees the righteousness of the Jews, he doesn't say, that's mine. And that's like we're saying, because he gave that away. He didn't want it. He wanted to give it. But when he sees the gold and the silver and the jewelry and the wealth and the property, he says, Jew, that's mine. You're a ganav. You stole that. And that's what brings the wrath of Esau out. So he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you wealth, enjoy it, but in the house, not outside of the house. Not while we live in the golus of Esau. That's this balance of power, what we're speaking about here. This was the meeting of Yaakov and Esau, and what we learn from this, how we should act for the generations to come.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.